Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. This is your host for the evening, Kyle Hunt, coming to you right here from RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Please check out RenegadeTribune.com for a lot of new content. There's a whole lot of new content over at RenegadeVids.com, but a whole lot of good content I still see getting shared around. Good to see that. It'd be nice to be able to do more videos, but really time just does not allow for it right now. I myself am pretty much swamped with everything that I have on the table here, and it's not just Renegade, it's a lot of things in life, and I also haven't been feeling all that well somewhat recently. While others in the house have gotten sick, I've just kind of had a headache and felt a little tired. Yes, a little under the weather, or should I say under the Zog fog. Yes, we're all living under the Zog fog, and it seems like a whole lot of people cannot think clearly. Do I blame them for this? In some regards, they do need some blame. But no, we are being poisoned from birth at so many different levels. And I just think that people who push for fratricidal conflicts, or even just unnecessary conflicts in general, race war, are actually doing the enemy's work. There are a number of people who fuel into this push towards violence on a massive scale, and I'll be getting through some of them here tonight. There are also people who are out there to keep you very much pacified, to keep you diving down different rabbit holes, to keep you doing anything other than resisting effectively and speaking out, acting out. They'd like for you to be warring against every little proxy out there. Oh, go after the feminists. Focus on the feminists. Didn't you see these paid provocateurs over here doing something really ridiculous? What about Femin? I haven't seen Femin in a while. But hey, maybe Femin can make a big appearance somewhere and get everybody all riled up about feminism. Maybe they have another march against Sharia, like they had here in the U.S. by Israeli agents, and the alt-right just lapped it up. Maybe they could do that. But here, we are looking for solutions. And we're not just going to focus on the headlines of the day. Honestly, I don't have the time to consume a lot of this popular media. I do not watch the TV. Guys, I don't watch the State of the Union address. I really, honestly, have never. I can't stand it. You might argue that I should be out there doing this kind of research to bring back the tidbits for you. If there's something that's relevant, somebody out there is going to catch it, and I'm going to get a hold of it somehow. So that's kind of the way that I operate. We got some callers joining in here, and I will get to them in just a second. Yeah, it really is up to you out there to determine what it is that you choose to consume. I thank you for taking a big bite out of Renegade Broadcasting and listening to what we have to say. I do appreciate it. There are a lot of different outlets vying for your time and attention, especially within the alternative media that has become absolutely saturated, well, with controlled opposition for the most part, in my opinion. And they do this to essentially crowd out the opinions of people who are genuine, to crowd out the information that really does need to get out there. Back when we first started here at Renegade Broadcasting 2012, we were one of a very few outlets that were touching upon these issues in a big way, having any kind of impact. Now it's just a whole different ballgame out there. And there are people get a lot more attention than we do by the mainstream for a reason. And also from all these other alternative outlets where they just interview each other all the time. But when's the last time I've been interviewed by anybody? It's not because I don't do very good work. It's not because I haven't been successful. It is because I have been successful and I've called out people. I am a lightning rod and people don't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole, even if they do agree with me, because it's bad for business. They might get shunned and blackballed as well for having anything to do with Renegade. So they'd rather stay in that comfy, cozy, big tent where they have those heaters, you know, the ones that kind of look like mushrooms, those heaters going. They'd rather be in there than out in the cold with us Renegades. But this cold builds character. Okay, let's start taking calls here. We got a lot of people jumping in. Scarlett, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kyle.
How are you doing?
Okay, I guess. Not really.
I understand. I understand that it is not going too well for people out there. But if
yeah,
the
you know,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Having anything to do with Renegade seems to not only ostracize you publicly, but also privately as well. I've shared, you know, the broadcast with some family members that I thought might have, like, functioning neurons between their two ears, as Charlie would say. And it seems they don't, you know. And I know regarding my job, I didn't let on that I was having anything to do here, you know, publicly, but I guess I was told that I've been outed, you know, this was several months ago, and I was told I would lose my job, you know, if I didn't keep it under wraps. And then I have my parents, you know, I've tried to share it with, and basically told me, you know, you're crazy. It's very ostracizing.
How'd this happen to your job?
Situation. Oh, it's just a get-together. We were pretty social amongst ourselves. I work for a small business owner, so it's a close-knit group of people. And me and a liberal friend of mine were going at it. We think it's great fun to kind of banter back and forth and debate one another. And sometimes we forget other people are listening. And someone picked up on that. And I was actually kicked out, removed from the situation, told I'm not welcome back. And if we ever hear of it again, you will lose your job.
Wow. And you're in Texas. Isn't this supposed to be a red state, a Republican stronghold?
It's conservative America over here. And if, you know, you're not, you can be a liberal. Yeah. You can be a Hillary fan. You can be a Trump fan, but you can't be a Renegade. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're the people on the right are also enforcing their own version of political correctness. They are
they're
the
equally
police.
Intolerant, equally, at least equally intolerant.
Yeah, and that's why I just get so frustrated when people are talking about whether or not women vote left or vote right, or whether or not, you know, enough white people are voting GOP. Who gives a damn? It's not the party of the white man. It's the party of the Jew, just like the Democrats. It's and they switched. They switched. The Democrats used to represent white people. Then it became the Republicans as the de facto representatives of white Christian America. It's just retarded. I hate dealing with it. And that's all that people really seem to be infatuated with on social media. I see all this talk about the memo. Everybody's talking about Comey, the FBI, and Mueller, and this memo, and FISA, and Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and all this other crap that is essentially just the storyline building this week on the WWE political circus. You have people that just, this is all they really care about because they watch Fox News, MSNBC. Do you know people like that where you are?
Oh, yeah, that's my dad all the way, Fox News hat guy, you know, all the way, a Trump fan. I actually reached out to him last night because it's been a rough week as far as our cause goes, you know, and I was kind of down the dumps. And I thought, my dad's a real amateur historian, and he's a smart guy, you know, and I thought I really, really had some faith that I might reach out to him, and I was shot down so fast. It was a big downer, actually. And the end of the conversation ended like this. He said, please think about what I said. And I said, I sure will. And I said, please think about what I said. And he said, I sure will not.
That's the essence of it right there.
Yeah.
Intolerance. And I want to have that conversation, but it just makes people uncomfortable. And they can recognize that I can lay out one point after the other and get them to agree, essentially. Yes, that is correct. That's a fact. But then when you put them all together logically and form the big picture, they turn their heads, sing, put their fingers in the air and say, la, 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 I don't want to see it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm finding a stumbling block with this generation because it's real important to me to reach out to my parents before they're gone and try to get them into some right way of thinking. I really feel like the stumbling block here in this generation in America is World War II.
Yes.
You know, both my grandparents fought, and my parents need to hang on to that false belief that they fought for the right cause, and anything that can push them over to that other side, they will not engage in that. It's just not happening. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to push it to the point where I hurt them. You know what I mean?
The younger generations are more vulgar, more irreverent, and more crass. But that's also one of the things that allows them to make Holocaust jokes or to just not even be afraid of exposing it as a lie that it obviously is. And that's also due to them being a little bit more distanced from it, born, let's say, in the 80s, like myself. Yeah, we were raised on Holocaust movies. You know, and we saw some survivors coming through the school, but it wasn't real in that while we were alive, our country was at war with these evil Nazis, and they were killing, you know, people that we knew. So I think the youth does contain a lot of, well, I think there is hope, and I don't like that word. I don't like that concept always, but I think that we have a lot of resources available through the youth. And even the ones that are damaged by all this crap with the autism because of the vaccines and all the radiation and all the toxic food, even a lot of those people, they can see it, they can get it, and they have skills that they can offer to the cause. Now, I get a little frustrated with some of these autistic people, especially if they're in the alt-right, but that doesn't mean that they can't be contributors, that they can't actually do something good for their people. And what I'd love to see happen is to see people not only re-educated, but brought back to health, you know, at least as close as they can, get people closer to their potential. Because as it stands right now, people are just so depressed, so traumatized on so many different levels that we're just really a shadow of what we could be. We are really repressed in so many different ways. And I just like to see people get back to their natural state, get back to their brilliance. And it pains me every day to see the opposite occurring, the obesity continuing to take hold everywhere, and even among young children, the stupidity. And I'll just do everything I can possibly do to reverse these trends. But it feels like sometimes you're up against just this absolute, you know, behemoth, and you're trying to push against it, and it's just steamrolling. That's what I've seen within my lifetime, and even within the existence of Renegade Broadcasting. They've ramped things up to such a crazy degree, but I do feel like that will allow us to do a little bit of that jujitsu, the judo, to use their own momentum against them and slam them down, because they're going at us full tilt right now. So unless we sidestep this and allow their energy to carry them down, we're going to bear the brunt of that. We already are. Well, speaking of fighting metaphors, we have, it looks like, Raleigh joining us here. Raleigh, is that you?
Yes, sir. Kyle, you hear me?
Yeah. There you are.
Hey, I was just thinking about the State of the Union address that Trump just gave, where he laid out his vision, or should I say BB's vision, of warfare for his administration. You know, he's promoting heavily this idea that the military should no longer have this artificial timeline. You know, it's to be a non-linear time link between how we're inside country to country, bombing the shit out of them, destroying infrastructure, and the American people really don't need to know a goddamn about what's going on in the Middle East and the region. And he also talked about these small nations that are rogue nations and terrorist nations, and big nations are not rogue or terrorist nations. They're just rivals like China and Russia. But, you know, he's never going to ever say that the tiny nation of Israel right on the Mediterranean is, in fact, you know, a bandit state and we're toadies for them. You know, this fatal attraction we have, this love-hate relationship we have with Israel, is causing us to be an enemy among every single freaking nation. And he even talked about his policy with the UN, that if you don't support Israel, you're not going to get any sort of income from the United States. You know, this friendship we have with Israel, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw what happened down in Texas after Hurricane Harvey blew through, right? Brought all the water damage, and people in that town had to, they eventually overturned this, but they had to sign some kind of loyalty pledge to Israel saying they won't participate in BDS, you know, otherwise they won't get their money. Just ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, passing legislation like this all over. Here in Florida, you have to sign something like that if you want any kind of government contract. Somebody sent it to me. It's scary. I mean, this is, you know, a very much a totalitarian state we're living in right now. Yeah, it's Jewish tyranny that is unfolding here, quite like they had in the Soviet Union. They just haven't grabbed all the guns, so they're not as brutal yet.
And I've written about that briefly in my article, Israel's Here to Help, where this YouTuber, this guy that's running propaganda for the Israeli state, you know, saying that the Israel was keeping us afloat with that big hurricane in Florida because they administered two teams to come help us out. You know, they don't even have a freaking leg to stand on. How are they going to tell us they're supporting us in a natural disaster like that? And speaking of showers and rain, you know, take a look at Mrs. Universe pageant. It reminds me of the State of the Union, because he urinated on most of those women, if you check out Pissgate, and now he's doing it, you know, on his stage, you know, saying that if you're not a friend of Israel, you're not a friend of mine, and America's just going to piss on you.
Now, I don't know about that dossier. Some people do think there's legitimacy to it. Now, that's the whole thing that's being called into question here with Memogate. Oh, it was a partisan anti-Trump conspiracy, and it was funded by the Democrats, and oh, look, Trump is vindicated. Of course, there's nothing to that dossier. I don't know. I don't really care. You look at the pageants he has, though. He was actually the first, you know, beauty pageant to allow and this is back in 2012, he allowed for a tranny, a male, to compete in the female competition. It won some kind of award. He was also behind the African, or Japanegro. Yeah, the Japanegro winner over there in Japan. That's an arm of the Trump dynasty there with his beauty pageants. So I also think, and I've mentioned this before, that he was operating Trump escorts with some of the women who didn't really make it too far within the pageant system. This seems to be where they recruit a lot of their high-end talent for very expensive liaisons, some of the, which can last up to a month.
Yeah, exactly. And remember that talking point that Donald Trump said, I will not have a tranny inside of the military? And then Joe Kennedy III went against him and said, that's absolutely appalling that you would not have a tranny inside the military, you know. And nobody ever brings up the point that why do we have to have such a big, expensive military taking down nations, you know. They would never, ever bring that up.
What's being missing, too? It's been a month since the 21 trillion figure came out. Catherine Austin Fitz was one of the first to really bring this to the forefront. And she was a former HUD official. And this is the Pentagon and HUD. $21 trillion. It's gone missing. And this was, over a course of, I think the span ended in 2015. So it's not even accounting for 3 years here. How much more has gone missing? Up for debate, but that's $65,000 for every man, woman, and child within the United States. $65,000 just gone missing. Who's talking about it? Anybody on the left? You think there'd be some criticism left? No, because this was also under Obama's regime, and a lot of these guys make a lot of money from all this missing cash. Is anybody on the right talking about it? Any Trump fans? No, of course not. This is just something that needs to kind of just go away. $21 trillion can't be accounted for. Nobody's talking about it.
HUD is actually the favorite place to cipher money off of for black projects. You know that, Kyle? That's the favorite place where the DOD and CIA likes to skim off the top of is actually the HUD itself.
And, why is that? Why do they do it that way?
Well, let me tell you this, because who do they got heading it right now? The guy who's heading it now actually is totally incompetent to be able to be the director of HUD. He thinks that the pyramids of Egypt were actually silos for grain itself. They always put in a fucking retard to be to head up HUD so they could always look the other way what's going on, you know?
Yeah. And just the money that is spent through HUD that's not siphoned off, it's incredible. The way that they hook some of these so-called minorities up, it's absurd. And that's why they're driving around in these Cadillacs, all sorts of nice, new, expensive cars. Hey, if I didn't have to pay a significant amount for rent each month for the past decade or so, I could be driving around in a very nice car myself. But as it stands, not so much.
Hey guys,
Go ahead.
Interrupt you, but before we lose that, can I bring you back to that BDS legislation for a second?
Yeah, please.
Because I like to follow any pertinent news stories, on mainstream news, and I ended up in the Jerusalem Post, I think, regarding the Poland versus Israel debate. And it was strange because while I like to look at the comment boards and see what everyone has to say about it, and what popped up on the Jerusalem Post was a BDS legislation advertisement. And it was a pro, please sign up to boycott Israel. And I found that strange, on the Jerusalem Post, almost like, hey, sign up and give your name here so we can see who is, who's against us. Like, I'm going to be such an idiot to put my name down on your Jerusalem Post.
Yeah. I think it's definitely one of those control opposition groups, but a lot of the people involved are genuine. But just look at the name that they've chosen: BDS, boycott, divest, sanction. They could have put it in any different order, but now it's called the BDS movement. Well, what's the acronym for that? BDSM. Something that actually Trump can be tied into. There's even a book, Trump Tower, that involves some BDSM. Originally, it came out like it was like Donald Trump wrote it, and it was all these different, you know, stories. It didn't write it, but it involves some weird, twisted stuff. We know about him yanking his wife's hair out. You know, this was Ivana at the time. And she said in her book, her autobiography, that Trump had raped her. So, yeah, BDSM, for the name of a movement going against Israel, there, I think there's something to that, and it's not just an accident.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that, but yuck.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple unknown callers. I will get to them right after the break here. Raleigh, anything else you want to add about the State of the Union? Not something I really followed. I did catch that Trump had said beforehand that, well, he hopes that there wouldn't have to be a big, you know, cataclysmic type event, not in those words, that will unite people. Basically saying, hey, I hope we don't have to have another new Pearl Harbor like we had back in 2001.
Yeah, he actually said that also, alluded to both those things. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. Remember, I wrote a story based on a Washington Post article 2 weeks before that and tried to say that he may have not actually said that because the Washington Post has been an unreliable source for information. They got John Podesta as one of their columnists, you know. So I don't really trust what the Washington Post really says. But you heard it from the
CIA. Goes back a long way, long, long way.
But when you hear it from the goat's mouth, the Baphomet's mouth himself, you really can't refute that. So I definitely believe that he's been given information about it. And he's just going to be like George W. Bush on 9/11. He's going to have that blank stare on his face reading a book upside down somewhere about a goat. And he's going to have that look on his face like, holy shit, you know, I agreed to do something, and now I got to cash that check.
All right.
Fallen on hard times, need cash, sick of waiting tables? Here at the Juilliard School of Drama, we can make all your hopes and dreams come true. Sign up for our 33-week course and we will teach you how to laugh mid-sentence when describing how your friend was blown into 6 million pieces, how to move too soon before any shots or explosions are even heard, the lost art of driving into people but having your truck stay nice and clean, the correct posture when crouching over a dummy so your ID card doesn't cause neck strain. Sign up today and we guarantee weekly acting jobs with the CIA, FEMA, MI5, even Mossad! Scholarships and bursaries available for war veteran amputees and illegal immigrants. Juilliard School of Drama. We even supply the tomato sauce and dead chickens.
Welcome back to the Renegade Roundtable. I know I said I would get to the unknown callers after the break, and I still intend to get to them, but when I have known callers of quality, I do have to get to them first. First on, I will bring Matthew North, who called in first, and then we'll get to Vegan Nance. Matthew, welcome. You put on up the some of the show, the segment you were on from the roundtable last week on your own YouTube channel, and it seems to have gotten a pretty good response, so welcome back.
Yeah, hey guys, and it's always good when it gets a good response. Any traffic we can direct to Renegade is great.
Yeah, and it was a good segment last week. That was a very good roundtable in general, getting into some good topics. Now, what would you have to add this week, at least concerning some of the current events that were brought up?
Well, you guys have been covering some great stuff, so I had to call in. But I do want to mention with the how you were talking about how Trump acts as a smokescreen for the military to do whatever it wants globally. And I want to point out Syria, because the Trump propaganda arms will have you believing that there's peace in Syria. There's nothing really going on in Syria. But YPG, I want people to pay attention to YPG, because we've seen this same story 100 times. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban, whatever. The Trump military regime has been arming these communist terrorists that Turkey has now launched a ground assault against. Now, what is a perfect enemy for this regime? Communist terrorists. And we see people from all over the world joining YPG, British kids. So I see in the future them directing, a great place for people to fight against the Trump regime. Go join YPG and you can really make a difference. So I just see that coming in the future.
Interesting. Yeah, something to keep your eyes out on. Now, we also have this story that I came across today about how the military is currently running some drill in Israel. So U.S. troops are in Israel drilling with the Israeli military for a possible war against Hezbollah, which means a war against Lebanon, which then pretty much means a war against Iran, at least the way that I see it. So what do you make of this?
Hezbollah is a tool, like I've talked about before. But yeah, it's a perfect tool for warfare. They're going to have to get Iran eventually. I don't know. I think they want to possibly build Iran up to be a hyper-capitalist type of society.
You know, you really do have to create an enemy that looks plausible enough, or else you just seem like the world's biggest asshole, a huge bully that is just going around and stomping on everyone. And that's why they make these people out to be, you know, such arch villains, uber terrorists, and, make them out to be a real credible threat when indeed they are not. And you just look at the budget of the military in the United States. It's absurd and it's not efficient, with much less, I would say, a country like Russia. And I'm no fan of Putin. We've gone over that many times. They do more. With less, they do more. In the United States, it's a big bloated mess, but still, it's such overkill. Well, we have a number of callers here. Matthew, anything else you want to add before we get on to the next caller? And I do hope you stick around as well.
No, go ahead.
All right, great. So we'll bring on Nance here. Nance, welcome.
You want me to meet? Am I unmuted?
Yes, you're unmuted. Oh, I screwed it up again. Nance, hi.
I don't want to do anything. What happened. Yeah. Okay, cool. just a couple of things. I just backing up because there was some unknowns here. But I don't know if anyone saw this, but there was I don't watch the news. I can't handle it. Drives me nuts. I smashed my TV up a few years ago, so just don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't have much idea what's going on in the States beyond the propaganda they put on my email provider, which is mail.com. But they had some news about an Italian civilian who killed a African immigrant after a week where one of the African immigrants gruesomely killed one of the Italian women there. So it just looks like they're trying to link this Italian to the far alt-right. So you can see they're trying to push that narrative as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. But the other is, I know it kind of sounds repetitive, but when everything feels really crap, just one thing I don't think people are doing, or they do a little bit, then they get distracted, is to keep the weather and nature. And a lot of it has become synthetic, but the eight seasons of the year, that sort of thing, it's extremely important to be connected to that, because that's also something that heals you every time you do sustain wounds in a way that nothing else can. And tomorrow when I'm on with Rich, I know it sounds stupid, but if anyone's got pipe cleaners, if you've got kids with, you know, the little bendy pipe cleaners, I'll bring up a really quick activity you can do just so you can have some sort of symbol, which is a solar cross, to help you keep track of where you are in the middle of the year.
Great. I think it's very important that people find their own ways to deal with all of this, because it can be a lot. I think that's one of the conspiracies about the conspiracy movement, is that it teaches learned helplessness. It essentially gets people overwhelmed and feeling completely helpless.
Yeah, yep. I want to echo Nance's point of getting out in nature. I think that's super important. I didn't used to do that, and I was all depressed. I couldn't figure out why. Just start going for hikes. People feel like they have to be in a church or a temple to be close with God or gods or whatever. I think the most spiritual place for me, at least, is just out in nature.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Well, nature
walk
is
barefoot
a temple.
When you can.
In pagan nature is a temple.
Yeah, and that's why they chop down all the sacred groves. And you know, even beyond that, it was just chopping down all these different forests. And look at what they do when they put in a housing development. I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but for the most part, what I see, so they put up all these houses real quickly. They just clear cut the entire land. They don't leave any of the trees that were actually there. They might plant some small ones, and maybe in 30 years it will look all right, and there'll be some good shade around. But this is just taking people completely out of their natural element, especially the white people. Sometimes I go walking in the forest, and I think of the way life should be, like it once was, where we were very much integrated with the natural world. Now everything is paved. It's like that song. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. I see it everywhere. I hate it. We're so disconnected from our world. And this is the way that the Church of Christianity has also, you know, set up the dialectic. It's godliness versus that satanic nature-based religion, you know, the old ways. And it's very much a culture wherein cleanliness is all about, and you know, is next to godliness. And that means, you know, you've got to be indoors, you've got to be in a church or in a hospital, right? Cleanliness is next to godliness. So it means you've got to spray all sorts of chemicals around to kill any kind of microorganism that might be around and disinfect everything. You know, that natural dirty world is evil. Now, this is, I'd so much rather be out there in nature. I think that Matthew's right. That's where you find God, not in some building created by people. I really don't think that's where you'll find it, in some sterile building full of toxic chemicals and toxic people.
Well, and just going out and being in nature, you notice things like the leaves fall off the tree and give nutrition for the tree to grow further, and there's little you know, fungus that'll break that plant material down to make it so it's self-sustaining. The natural world, non-synthetic things work themselves out the way, you know, how it's naturally supposed to be will work.
Well, and this is something I was thinking about bringing up, just one of those life hacks I was talking about. If you do any kind of gardening, if you don't, you should, but if you do, are you throwing out your foodstuffs?
Why? This is what goes to create healthy soil for the future. Compost it. Get a worm bin. Get some vermiculture going on, and get the worms to eat that leftover food or the parts of the plant you don't want when you're cutting it up for dinner. Yeah, put it out there and use it to grow more food. This is the real cycle, this unbroken circle that we need. This is the natural world, the natural way. But you know, everything is just throw it away, out of sight, out of mind, as it goes floating off into the ocean in trillions of different plastic parts, killing all sorts of sea life and working its way up the food chain. And, you know, I'm worried about the white people. Some people bring this up, you know, oh, everybody's concerned about save the whales, but nobody's thinking about save the white children. I'm thinking about all of that. I don't want a world without white children. I sure don't want a world without the whales either. Just insane the way we've been living.
I was just going to add, with nature as well, if you want to take it a little bit further through a theory sort of mindset, the topic of biomimicry, that is something that actually got me into permaculture. It was good at first, and then I thought, no, I didn't really like the rest of the course, but it's a worthwhile study and topic. The essence of it is to find all the solutions to any problems or inventions you want to create through the study of nature. And so you will, you know, sit down with a notepad and you will just observe how a caterpillar moves, how it goes about its business, how it climbs, and then you adapt that to technology or an invention or a solution to something. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the term and the study called biomimicry.
No, it sounds interesting, though.
I'll put a link in the live chat.
Okay, well, anybody have anything else to add before we go to these unknown quantities here?
I'll throw in a little on what Nance had to say. My husband and I were having a discussion because we have so many hopes and dreams about gaining some land and getting back to nature and living in a more natural way. And we're finding it as townsfolk very frustrating because these are things we should know. I want to grow my own food. I have absolutely no idea how to begin.
Isn't that insane? Isn't that crazy?
There's so many things that should be just innate to our being, something I should have known. I'm 37. I should have known it 30 years ago on how to make a plant grow and a number of other things on just natural ways of being. And I'm feeling like I'm running out of time. I have to figure this out and pass it along to the next generation so they are not removed from this knowledge. And she is so, Nance, you're so full of knowledge about nature and things we're supposed to know. And I wish I knew these things, and I hope to get there before it's too late.
Scarlett, you just need to remember it. And, you know, it's only because I'm a witch that I am in touch with that, because without nature, I wouldn't be one. If you want to know where to start with your fruit and vegetables, actually look at the actual day, the week of the calendar that you're on, even if it's Gregorian. Are you in summer, autumn, winter, or spring? And then look at what the produce is that is to be bought at this time of the year, and then look at what you should be putting into the ground by way of seed for the next season. And you just start from there. You're not going to get it all done at once. That's just insane. Right. Really. You just layer it up every year. You add more, you learn more. It's a journey.
Right, and I think it's really important to begin with marking the seasons. I've begun to do that with my family, and I think it really begins with that, to mark the seasons, to commemorate them, to know what it all means, and you start there. That's where I'm going with anyway.
All right. Well, tune in on Tuesday night, and Nance will be getting into that much more. Looking forward to that myself. Not sure if I'm looking forward to these callers. We'll see. Okay. Unknown caller. Welcome. Who's this?
Hi, this is Hey.
Hey.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Hey. Hey, this is John from New Jersey.
John from New Jersey. First time caller?
No, I've called in a few times over the years.
All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
I don't know. You guys are talking about a lot of things. I was wondering, has the whole debate over white genocide versus white suicide ever been resolved?
I thought I resolved that years ago. But are people still pushing white suicide? Because even, I just saw this a few hours ago, even Savage, Michael Wiener Savage, has been talking about white genocide. But instead of blaming the obvious culprits, he's blaming the Democrats. Yes, yes, those lefties are behind white genocide. Now, this is very interesting because, of course, he's always been appealing to the kind of white working class, the right wingers. A few years ago, he was saying that white people were trying to preserve any kind of, you know, white ethno state or anything like that, or create one, they're going to be swept into the dustbin of history. And now he's talking about white genocide. So I think that's a sign that it pretty much it's been proven that white genocide is taking place. You see the, it's a given now amongst many people. You see also that the there's this video that came out, I posted on the Tribune. The SPLC had some presentation where there's a presenter up there talking about how, you know, the rise in hate groups is due to the ethnic replacement of white people. It's been planned for a while. You can't stop it. You know, it says other such things. Basically, he admits that white genocide is taking place. That's why all these white people are so pissed off, but they're not going to be able to stop it. That's what he said.
I saw that video. I thought it was weird how he said it's been planned for a while. I hope somebody asked him to elaborate on what he meant by that.
Who planned that? Yeah, when did that plan first start out?
Yeah, I mean, Kudenhove Kalergi, maybe?
Well, actually, you look at Israel Cohen, a racial program for the 20th century. That's pretty accurate. Well, you even just look at the Protocols of Zion, you can pretty much see what unfolded. It's obvious that they've hated the white race for quite some time. They've wanted to do away with this most fearsome enemy that has given them the boot so many different times throughout history.
And let me just say real quick, this alt-right crowd loves to redirect it to, oh, it's the left. The left hates, you know, the left hates white people, yet they'll say white people are controlling the left, but it's openly Jewish controlled. I think that's just a small step that people need to make. And all they have to do is research, you know, who is George Soros, et cetera. Obviously, the front men aren't, you know, Hillary Clinton's not Jewish, but everybody behind the scenes is. If people would open their eyes, they would realize that.
Same thing with Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. Yeah. So, John, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I think it's if the left is very far gone, but it's if we can get a lot of these Trump supporters to just understand who's controlling the left, then they can go back and look at Trump and go, oh, it's the same people, you know? And then I think they can begin to break away from that enslavement system.
Hey, John, are you seeing people push the white suicide meme still?
No, but I seem to come across like suicidal seeming white people in everyday life. Like they really don't care.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're overdosing so hard on.
And I don't mean suicidal like in that. I don't mean like personally suicidal.
Oh, I know.
I mean like white, like white race suicidal.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Okay. There is pathological altruism. There is literal white suicide, but we need to look at the pathogen. We need to look at the mind controller. And it's very obvious what has taken place. Even just look at the opioids, who's been benefiting from it. The forward mentions, admits this, how it's the Sackler family who's behind the recent epidemic with all the OxyContin that was coming out in the 90s. And now just look at how hard it has been pushed upon people with the federal government's blessing. Absolutely insane. Then you look through history and you see the same fingerprints throughout the ages. Meyer Lansky, you see the Sassoons,
And it's just a way for them to destroy their enemies, to conquer and profit. So white people, yes, the people out there chose to take those pills. Yeah, it might have been doctor's orders to get them started. The pusher in the white lab coat. I mean, this isn't fair. It's not a fair system. These people are they're trusting. They trusted too much. And I'm not going to condemn them for being sheep who have been shepherded to the slaughter. Yeah, so let's take this other caller here, and this should be the last one for now. Hello, unknown caller. Who's this? Unknown caller. Okay. Well, if this unknown caller wants to make themselves known, they can do so while we discuss things with the rest of the table.
Hello, Kyle. Can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
This is Brian Hefner from Northeast Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Can you say your name one more time, please?
Brian Hefner.
Brian.
Yes, from Allentown, okay. Pennsylvania. Formerly from Allentown. Yeah, I just wanted to know if you've heard about we got a guy named Ed Pelosi, the mayor of Allentown. He's currently under a 55-count federal indictment on bribery, conspiracy, mail fraud charges, and he hired a IT firm called Cyber, and they were all Mossad agents, and they bugged the entire Allentown computer systems. And one other thing, it's a whole pay-to-play thing going on up here, and he's also business with Jack Rosen from the American Jewish Congress, who's sticking his hands in our business. So if he's wanted to take a look into that, I'd really appreciate it. All right.
All right. Hey, thanks for the tip. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a nice night. Goodbye.
Take care, Ryan. Interesting. Anybody have anything to add about that? Raleigh might be following a bit on some of the subjects related to Talpiot and Technion and Unit 8200 and all the rest of high-tech Israel and their back doors and everything. Raleigh, were you aware of this? Was anybody else on the call aware of this?
I'm sorry, teacher. I wasn't paying attention to the class. Well,
that's fine. Don't worry about it.
I could start talking about Topia, though.
Yeah, if you want to talk about that briefly, I mean, we did cover this somewhat last week on the roundtable. They have backdoors in the technology. They have their people in the microchips. You know, they're in everything. They have all these startups that they've been coming out. Well, within, as the caller mentioned, they're taking over security systems for all these United States companies and government agencies. Oh yeah, we'll keep you safe. Well, what if the people who are wanting to get inside your system are the people who are supposed to keeping the bad guys out? You got Jonathan Pollard's all over the place now. Digital Jonathan Pollard's everywhere.
Isn't it amazing this digital age where the Sanhedrin, the money collectors, now have spreadsheets to go by? You know, it's every day is much more easier to do regular tasks for us. And it's even easier for them to rip us the fuck off with technology nowadays. And it's absolutely ridiculous that they're moving the chip. You know, it's being made in Israel right now. And did you know it's a stone throw away from the Baha'i temple?
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. I just want to point out Nick in the chat, Nick Spiro, is one to ask the caller if the Mossad firm is Black Cube. And of course, we've talked about the Black Cube. Some of my first shows on this network back in 2012, before I even got the boot from Oracle, were about the Cube. I did 3 shows on the Cube, and then we've seen this just come to such prominence with all of these Jewish organizations and their proxies. I mean, come on, look at the Muslims where they circle around the Black Cube and Mecca.
the Kaaba stone. What's very interesting, I saw a recent Red Ice video. I wanted to touch upon this in the second hour. It opens up with a cube. And then right behind Lana are all these white cubes floating in the background. Oh, yeah. They're pushing the patriarchy. Oh, I hate feminism. These cube worshippers want to bring their patriarchy to you. That's not a good thing. Not at all. Okay, so, Raleigh, I think you want to add something? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever see that sci-fi movie that was made in 97 called The Cube?
Yes, they had a few sequels to it.
The original makers were not involved with the sequels, and they're irrelevant and shouldn't be watched. But the original, the 97 one, is very, very interesting. And I use it a lot in a lot of my articles because one of the guys that actually designed the cube itself was put inside of it himself, and he made the suggestion, and it's something that Noam Chomsky seems to echo a lot, that it's all a headless blunder, that you might not realize it, but Big Brother's not watching you because, you know, Noam Chomsky believes that basically that the echelon is totally incompetent, and he's always been lying through his teeth, saying things like there's no such thing as corrupt people. It's the institutions. It's the cube. You know what I'm talking about, Kyle?
Well, yeah. Hey, and I worked in a cubicle at Google. Yeah, so it's definitely a it's kind of a symbol, to be honest, of this, the artificial world, isn't it? The cube.
Yeah, they're not in nature. They're not practical. And I was talking to my buddy. I was like, you know, I'm better than, I didn't say this, but, you know, at least I don't have to work in a cube. I kept saying that over and over again. And then I look up where I was and I was like, oh shit, I'm in an octagon. It's kind of a cube, you know, and the second one, it is an octagon and not a cube.
Yeah. You know what? I just want to bring this up real quickly. I'm trying to get you to think, oh, nobody's really watching. It makes me think of the Panopticon. Nobody needs to be watching. They just need to tell you that they could be spying on you at any time in order for most people to get into line. They just have one watchtower in the center of this courtyard with all these prison cells. That's essential. Okay. Second hour. We got that music coming in. We'll be back in just a little bit. Stay tuned.
See the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome back to the Renegade Roundtable. Before the break, the cube was brought up, and Raleigh had some more to add, so I am going to let him take it away here, and then we'll get back to some of the other callers and other topics.
So I'm going to start talking about one of my unpublished works called There Is No Big Brother, There Is Only the Cube. And this movie, this 97 sci-fi film, alludes to that the Big Brother does not exist. And if you've read 1984, the novel where all this comes from, you know that Emmanuel Goldstein, who looks a lot like Leon Trotsky of the Communist Revolution, and they suggest that Big Brother actually made up Emmanuel Goldstein in 1984 as controlled opposition so that anybody who had any rebellious ideas after the revolution could go follow this crackpot, and the guy doesn't even exist. He's just Edward Snowden. You know, he's a facade made up, just like we have today with Edward Snowden, that if you're an investigator, you have to look up to Edward Snowden. You know, he's the guy in the cloud looking out for us. At the same time, he's teaching, you know, Big Brother, he's really, really powerful. You better obey him. You know, that's kind of what Edward Snowden is basically saying, and it's absolutely appalling. And also in 1984, it kind of suggests that Big Brother himself doesn't exist. And we see this narrative in the cube everywhere we go. You could look at what's his name, Leah Remedy, who's exposing Scientology. Did you ever think of her as being a shill for Scientology herself? Because she's going around saying Scientology is fucking powerful. You better not fuck with Scientology. If you're a journalist, they'll come hound you down. Well, I got news for you guys. I've talked about Scientology on three different occasions live. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with the whole learned helplessness as well, where this was brought up by one of Richard's guests, the T-Math Phillips, the lawyer out there in California. And he's saying that all the talk of the dead doctors, I mean, who's to say what the reality of the situation is, but some of these people putting out the stories pretty much reinforce the idea that you better not mess with us or else you'll be dead. Don't have any doctors standing up and talking about vaccines. I think this is one of the ways that they do use fake news. I don't know who has really died. I don't know if any of these stories have any validity. That's the world that they've created, where you can't trust anything that they're putting out. And I think that's the wisest move. And a lot of it is demoralization. It is to get people to not even think about stepping out of line or else, ooh, we're coming to get you.
I'm going to do a little bit of drama for you real quick. It's from the 97 movie, The Cube. Quentin, who's this cop who's disgruntled wife abuser who comes out as a nice guy. He's the black guy in the movie. He says to Worf, who invented the cube, why put people in it? And then Worf says, because it's here. You have to use it or your aim, it's pointless. And then Holloway, who actually designed it, I take that back about Worf, says it's all machine right, you know, the Pentagon, the multinational corporation, the police, if you do one's job, you will build a widget. And the next thing, it's 2 miles underneath the desert. And then he goes on and on. But then what Worth says is that there's nobody in charge. And he's meaning this cube. It's a headless blunder operating under the illusion of a master plan. Can you grasp that? Big Brother is not watching you. You know, you read that article, Frosty the Snowman, that I wrote it on the Tribune, that is a sentiment that is definitely echoed with media establishments such as Intercept and Noam Trotsky himself, that our intelligence agencies, brutal and barbaric because they're WASP agencies that drone people all the time, but they're largely incompetent and can't actually do any service, while Edward Snowden is saying that it's actually all powerful. So there's kind of a dichotomy going on between these two that are bouncing around among each other.
And the psychological impact of people thinking that they're being surveilled, whether or not they actually are, it's exactly the same. It doesn't matter. If somebody thinks they're being surveilled, it's going to really work a number on them. People can look up the studies. I haven't looked into it deeply myself in a while, but there are plenty of studies that are done to show the psychological impacts and just the different changes a person will go through. It will destroy some people if they think they're always being watched.
I saw a documentary on the NSA, and it largely dealt with Edward Snowden. But what it was you're talking about how people, if you do it discreetly, don't mind being having the surveillance cameras on them. But if you take your iPhone and see a guy outside drinking his coffee and take your iPhone and start recording him, he's going to start wanting to fight and get irate, you know, acting like a cornered animal. But if it's so discreet, you know, people seem to not notice it and think that, oh, yeah, it's surveilling me, but this iPhone I have, you know, I could do a booty call on it and meet up with girls on it. I could do certain things with it that I would not normally be able to do, even though basically on these cell phones, you have what's equivalent to all the knowledge in the world that you could easily access, and people still do the most menial dumb shit with their phones and don't try to improve themselves with them for the mass majority. And in my Topiat article, I wrote that these iPhone games that people download, you know, such as Candy Crush, that I don't know if it's popular, I really don't play them. But for example, my buddy, he told me he's going to go up north over the weekend, which is popular in the Midwest, is to go up to the mountains. And I asked him what he did. He said he played Candy Crush all weekend. What self-respecting man plays Candy Crush? You know, I find it absolutely.
He went
to
the mountains. He was in the mountains instead of going out hiking and doing all sorts of sightseeing. He's playing Candy Crush. That's crazy. Well, stuck in the cube, and they got virtual reality glasses now for your cell phones, so you can just be fully immersed. It's great.
Do you remember that game on Facebook? I'll let you have the mic in 1 second. Do you remember that game?
Finish up, then we'll go to Nance.
Okay, absolutely. Do you remember that game, Farmville, that highly addictive game on Facebook that had you making crops and feeding animals all digitally? Yeah. Dr. Phil, to his credit, said, get off of Facebook and build a farm for real. You know, the New World Order is not just run off a crate system. You know, it's Topiat, but that's one of their antennas, is to get you on these highly addictive games and taking you to a place, you know, that you would never go to and wasting your time on the internet when you could be looking at the Library of Alexander.
Oh, yeah. The alt-right loves gaming. They still promote it all the time. It's just amazing that people think they're awake and they're still into gaming. Nance, we'll go to you, and then I think Matthew had something to add as well.
Cool. Just really quickly, I was just thinking about something, and I digress just a slight second. But in witchcraft, when we use wands, before we used a wand, it was our finger. So you would point. So you point your energy of attention onto what you're trying to connect to, use, manipulate, or tap into. So when you actually point at someone, or if you're pointed at, you really feel it. It feels uncomfortable. You are aware of that attention being on you. And in a way, if someone's pointing their phone at you or a camera and they're recording you, they are focusing attention on you, and it's almost like a technology way of using the wand or the finger pointing at you. So you will drive you batty if they're continuously doing that. And I wonder if in some way that's one of their benefits for them, that they're actually using that.
Well, you look at the way paparazzi affects some of these people who are, you know, trying to live their lives. Not that they have any real sympathy for some of these celebrities. Other than that, some of them might literally be slaves. That seems to be the case. It drives these people crazy. Always having these flashing bulbs in their face. Always having their picture taken with what they're, you know, with whatever they're doing. It's oftentimes trying to paint them in a negative light. Yeah, that gets people pretty pissed off.
Energy, it's constant attention. You know, it's not meant to be used constantly, but they're using technology to put constant attention on people.
Well, with the flashing lights, with the paparazzi, like Kyle mentioned, most of these people, especially the major cash cows, are literally slaves. And a lot of times an induction will be flashing lights, a hypnotic induction for a mind control slave. So I think it's interesting that that they're always swarmed with these flashing lights.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting point, especially it seems when, you know, they might be either being celebrated, and then it's probably a bit different, but also when they're being attacked, you know, say they step out of line, or if, you know, they're just being thrown under the bus for some kind of occult ritual, and they're hounded. Yeah, the flashing lights, it's traumatic. If you're trying to get away and you've got all these flashing lights coming after you.
Rose McGowan actually was in the Children of God, and she's the woman that's heading up the Me Too movement. And she actually wrote that she broke away from that cult and ran away and went to Hollywood, and she was found on a curb. And that was her induction into Hollywood at a preteen.
Hey, you know, I wanted to bring up what I feel is a good story here regarding Hollywood. Somebody sent me a link today to this woman's page of artwork, her gallery. Her name's Ariana Richards. I know you've seen her. She was in the first Jurassic Park movie. She was the kind of nerdy young teenage girl, right? You guys have likely seen that movie and know who I'm talking about. But she stopped acting. Maybe she still has some little thing here or there for something. It might be listed on IMDb. But you look at her credits on there. She did that, a couple other things, and then just got the hell out of there. And she does amazing artwork. You know, you could go to her site and commission a painting. I don't know how well she does, probably well enough. But it seems that I don't think she just, you know, couldn't make it in Hollywood. I think she wanted to get the hell out of there and do something else with her life because she saw how evil it all was. And her paintings, I'll say this, they look like they're from somebody who's pro-white. In her gallery, there are no non-whites that I could see. And some of them even have Norse pagan themes. She's got a swan maiden Valkyrie, also Sigurd Before the Flames is the title of another one. So she's painting Norse pagan themed paintings and some really amazing portraits. Just thought that was a good story. Somebody who got out of Hollywood and is doing well for themselves with real artistry. She's very talented.
Well, and speaking of Hollywood being evil, I'm sure a few of you guys know this, but Hollywood is actually what you use in Jewish mysticism for your wands. So we know who the enemy is. That's the evil.
Well, let me actually throw this over to Nance here. I think that the whole Hollywood connection, I agree that they're casting some kind of spell, and you got the Tinkerbell and even just the casting couch. There is a magical aspect to this, of course. But I think the misdirection occurs when people will say, oh, it's the Hollywood, which is the magic wand of the Druids. So trying to essentially blame this on the Celtic wise men. So Nance, what do you have to say to this?
It does drive me crazy. It's up there with witches as well. If you look at witches, it's just almost like the National Socialists with the Nazis. It's just constant. There's a depiction of what witches are, and it's completely off from what they truly were in the old craft anyway. But Druids as well. I mean, we see it so much with Jews, how much they copy, use, infiltrate, sometimes twist, and then it's almost like a psyop of getting you to ignore your ancestors, your roots, your natural abilities of being an Aryan, because it's associated with the Jews and it wasn't theirs anyway. And it's up there with a pentagram. The Jews stole the pentagram. Also, they stole the representation of feminine masculine with a six-pointed star and called it a Jewish star, Star of David, which is bullshit. It's not even its origins. So it does get tiring. And it got to move on from that. You know, just because they get a third wand. Yeah.
Can it be used for bad as well, though?
Yeah. Okay. Anything can be. You know, yeah. You as a person, you can be bad or good. It doesn't mean that all people are bad or good. So, okay. You know, yeah. Not saying water is bad because someone's used it to waterboard someone.
It's yeah, ridiculous. Well, their version of holy wood is phallic, and it's the Harvey Weinstein version, right? That's their holy wood, the Hollywood out there.
Well, there's nothing one wrong of with the phallic. Either.
Right, but I'm just saying, not when it's Harvey Weinstein's.
No, well, he's a Jew. They shouldn't be using our symbols. Period. I would be happy if every single symbol, everything of our magic and Aryan past was just ripped out of their hands and we claimed it. But we're not going to claim it back if we point the finger and go, oh, it's Jewish, because it's actually not. Especially if you go back through history and you trace these symbols. I mean, the pentagram even is a the path of Venus as she goes through the system over 8 years, and it's Pythagorean. And Pythagoras had a deep respect for women and the goddesses. So there's nothing Jewish about that.
Well, yeah, real quickly, it used to be known as the R, A-R, or Ara back in Sumeria. And you have this really was the symbol of the Aryans, and this is why you see it used up until this day. It's a very powerful star. And even look at the word star, right? We call the pentagram the star, S-T-A-R. So you have the A-R there, which was the old name for this symbol, A-R, the A-R.
Well, this just shows how important education is. So what you're doing, Nance, is obviously very important because, yeah, I'm not aware of a lot of this stuff, and I would love to be aware of it. So, but I think what this ultimately shows is the duality of this realm.
Yeah, everything's in duality. You can think of every single thing, every masculine and feminine. There's a duality within a duality. Just think of those Russian Bubshka dolls. I can't pronounce Russian that well, so forgive me. But everything has a duality. Even our own chakras, which are actually Celtic, not Indian, Sanskrit, have a duality within. So there's a feminine and a masculine aspect. And without either, they become out of balance and they don't work. So I think the whole yoga system has been a massive psyop as well, to be frank. And I've taught for 25 years.
I agree with that. The chakra system and all that stuff is definitely originally Aryan thing. Some of my favorite books, Miguel Serrano's work, he talks a lot about duality and the chakras and these kinds of things.
Yeah, I'll touch on it a bit more with Richard on his show. But yeah, so if I was to give any advice to anyone who's looking at a symbol and thinking it's Jewish, really do your research and try and at least get one source that's not from the internet and go back as far as you can with it and actually look. Because even the pentagram, people might not know this, before the Christians adapted the cross, their symbol of Christ was actually a pentagram, upright, to display the five wounds of Christ. Again, I don't know how you turn something's natural and beautiful, representing Venus and the goddess, into an asshole dying on a cross. But yeah, so when Christians start bashing pentagrams, I laugh, because for a very long time, the pentagram was one of their symbols and not the cross. You still have churches to this day with a pentagram in the windows, and some even upside down, which is showing that spirit is being used to subvert nature and the natural elements of the world.
Well, let me just segue with all this symbol talk into this recent story with Norway, their ski team for the Olympics. There, they were in some hot water in the Jewish press because they had not only the Algis rune, but also the Tyr rune. And the Tyr rune, well, that's used by Nordfront, and it was used by the Nazis. Yes, Hitler's leadership crew were signified with the Tyr rune. And, oh, this is a big scandal. Look at those white people, those skiers with their Nazi white supremacist symbols. And this is a campaign that has gone on for quite some time. At one point in European history, I don't know for how long, using runes was a death sentence. Now, they came back into the public consciousness before the rise of the National Socialists with all the Germanic folk revival, especially. But then the National Socialists did pick up a lot of the runes and put them on the banners, held them high and proud, and look at what happened to them. This is a war against our symbols. And just one quick other story I wanted to bring up here was this. I think this was from late last year, actually, that this story came out. But the Black Culture Minister of Sweden ordered Viking artifacts that they were unearthing to be melted down and recycled for their metal. Yes. So that's what they were doing. And they tried to do this very quietly. I'm sure most people didn't hear about it. Yeah, the culture minister thinks, oh, well, we already have enough of that stuff, you know, just recycle it. This takes place all over the white world. And they bury it again. They hide it. Kennewick Man, this happens in New Zealand with all of the finds of ancient whites there. But this is a war against the Aryan and his symbols.
Yeah, or how about the narrative of the Vikings being a Islamic culture? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I think they came out with that story and then they, you know, debunked it maybe a week later. So, oh, well, I guess that's not really true. But all they need is the first headline and it gets that idea seeded in most people's minds. Even if, you know, a newspaper prints a retraction on a story, let's say, they put on page 35 and nobody reads it. That's the way that they operate. Everybody saw this story about Muslims actually really being Vikings. Yes.
I was just going to say, at the end of the day, symbols are more important than words. You get a lot more from looking at a symbol than a whole bunch of words, especially, and it transcends language.
Yeah, it does. And it does. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Okay.
It just seems to make more sense to me that you would write in a symbol, you know, like hieroglyphs or whatever. It seems like you can communicate better through symbols. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the hieroglyphs of Egypt, people can argue about this one, but it's pretty much a fact now that look at all the mummies that they've uncovered. There were thousands upon thousands. I think it was even hundreds of thousands that they found redheaded and blonde mummies, actually segregated out. It looked like the blondes were buried with the blondes and the redheads with the redheads. I mean, there's the ruling families. You look at their hair. It still exists because these people, well, they knew all about preserving bodies, and you see it. It's red or blonde, and it's not because of any kind of aging or dying process. These people were ancient Aryans, and it's just another one of those things where, even though all of the facts should get us thinking one way, the official narrative is, well, those were African kings. Those were Nubians. Even though in all of their symbols, the Nubians were essentially under the foot of the pharaoh. So it's been going on a long time that they've just been taking what should be obvious history and turning it against us.
Let me give a shout out to a YouTube channel, A Super Egyptian. The guy does a great job of exposing the African lie that the pharaohs were African and that it was an African. It was certainly an Aryan culture. Like Kyle said, the blonde haired mummies, red haired mummies. And this is all over the world. The sculptures were depicted with blue eyes, you know, obviously Caucasian features.
Oh yeah. China, Middle America.
Sorry, I was just going to say my family has, before we came to Spain, we actually came from Egypt. And so we escaped Islam when it came in Egypt, in the north of Egypt. So we knew that it was white, so it was part of Europe. So that always pissed me off. We were once kings, or the Afrikaners, bullshit. But I was just going to say quickly,
Well, real quick, the legend of Queen Skota being one of King Akhenaten's daughters who fled and then Queen Skota was Egyptian royalty and then went on to basically be one of the founding people of Ireland called Skota. And of course, that's where you get the name of Scotland. So this is where some of the Scottish Celtic people seem to have some connection, but you know, it's a legend. We don't know if this has any truth to it, but I did write an article on it a while ago and it seems to have some validity and it goes back a while.
Well, she's supposed to be one of the, one of my family's ancestors. That's
very interesting.
So yeah, we have red hair in my family, like even if they're curly, fully red. But
we'll be back in just a little bit. I'll let you pick up on it.
I've always believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.
Okay, and welcome back to the last half hour of the roundtable here. Nance, I have to throw it back to you because the break cut you off, and then I have something I'd like to bring up to the roundtable and get their take on here. But Nance, what do you have to say?
Very quickly, finishing off with symbolisms. It's not just images that are more powerful than words, but your ability to imagine an image is powerful, but also to impress that image onto somebody else. And if you have the tendency to be empath or telepath, your ability is going to be a lot easier than someone who is not. That is the natural progression of symbolism. So in a lot of ways, words are quite redundant, and animals are actually quite good at this compared to humans. Yet we think we're the smarter ones.
Yeah, well, I think that the runes presented by the Norway ski team have imprinted themselves on the public in a very good way, even though the Jerusalem Post coming out about these Nazi symbols. I think it's great propaganda. The pictures that they're using of these people, they look great. I think it's very good for us. So keep harping away about our evil symbols. By the way, how insane is it that Sweden has a black cultural minister? Yeah, the minister of culture is a black woman. I'm just saying, oh yeah, melt down the Viking artifacts and recycle them. But a black woman being the minister of culture for Sweden, this is insane. Let's look at some of our cultural ministers. For the awakened people, right? For the people who understand the lies of Abrahamism. Well, you've got somebody who bills themselves as the Volkish folklorist, Carolyn Emmerich. You might have heard her on Red Ice. Now, let me read a couple of tweets from her. First, let me just point out how Trump-tarded she is. Previously, she had said that she would want Trump to grab her by the pussy or something like that. She wouldn't mind. She'd just be so awestruck. And here's a tweet from her. I just wish nationalists could be less autistic, letting idealism trump pragmatism. Trump has huge. They can't see him coming. He needs demographics for votes. He has to kiss Zionist ass for 3 more years if we hope to see a re-election. Read Machiavelli and stop crying. Okay, yes. He's doing great 6D twister with the Zionists. Okay. But here's the one that really really got to me here. She says, I disagree. She's responding to somebody. I disagree. Read No More Brothers Wars. A serious portion of our brothers are infected with mind virus to the degree that they may as well not be our brothers. We need a brother war on a massive scale. We need to annihilate the enemy, hang traitors, and state a hashtag new society. Oh, yes. The Volkish folklorist is saying that the solution, the way to get ourselves out of white genocide, is to commit white genocide ourselves. Let's go kill a lot of white people. Oh, okay. Who? Anybody like to respond to this idea that the solution is to go kill a lot of white people in a big brothers war? Oh, everybody's still muted. Sorry,
I just wish
that.
Everyone stopped voting. Just stop voting. Just walk away from it. It's all bullshit. Just get away from it.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like, unfortunately, there's going to be some brothers fighting no matter what. There's a lot of white people are already part of multicultural families at this point, and they're going to stand up for their family before their race.
Yes. Yes, I understand this, but to advocate for killing other white people as a solution to white genocide is not just insanity. I mean, that should be a criminal offense. Calling for a brother's war while white people are being genocided? I mean, that's pretty ridiculous here. Matthew, what do you think about this?
it relates to that question of suicide versus genocide. And people who think it's suicide instead of genocide have a different solution towards the problem, right?
She, well, to argue her point, she could be welcoming a war, basically, which is, it seems like it's going to have to take place if white people are to survive.
We're going to have to kill a lot of white people for white people to survive.
Yeah, that does seem like it could be the point.
How'd that work out in World War II? How'd that work out in World War II?
Well, it could have worked out if.
How'd that work out in World War
I? White people.
How'd that work out in the 30 Years' War? Why would you kill the white people? Why wouldn't you kill the people who brainwash them, who fleece us all, who turn us against each other? Why wouldn't you kill those people?
Well, sometimes you have to kill a rabid dog. You can't go after the rabies.
You put them down. You have a. This is just okay. Anybody else want to chime in on this? Matthew, you have any thoughts about
the? Go ahead. What was it about? I had to grab a charger.
Oh, I was just reading a tweet here from this Carolyn Emmerich, the folkish folklorist, who's saying that she disagrees about no more brothers wars, that she thinks that because a lot of people are infected with mind viruses, that we need a brother war on a massive scale. We need to annihilate the enemy hang traitors. Yeah, I agree. Annihilate the enemy hang traitors. Great. We need a brother war on a massive scale. That's essentially saying we need to kill a lot of white people to stop white genocide.
Yeah, that sounds very counterproductive. And I think that's the worst thing right now. We need to unify as much as we can and pull some of those other people out of the trenches and get them on our team, because my top priority is the most precious souls of my Aryan brothers and sisters and freeing them. And I want to live in a unified Europe would be great. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't have allies with other people. You know what I mean? I think we all need to unite against the common enemy of humanity for all cultures, because the Jewish supremacists are destroying every culture.
Yeah. And I want to make this clear as well. When she's talking about the enemy, she's talking about Democrats, people who stand against her god emperor, Trump, who just has to kiss Zionist ass because, you know, he needs to be reelected. That's her argument there. That's who she's talking about when she's advocating for a brother's war. People who just they can't understand the Zog emperor. Between Republicans and Democrats, that would be just great. Yeah, get these people out in the streets. You have Antifa versus the alt-right. Yeah, that's great. Base Stickman will be out there battling it up. This is so stupid when behind the scenes, as you pointed out time and again, the Jews at the top, such as Sheldon Adelson and Haim Saban, are there taking photos of ups together, voicing their support for Israel. You see, Antifa stands in solidarity with Israel. You see those signs out there? And then you see on the alt-right, you see on the right side, oh, we stand with Israel, right? The base Spartan stands with Israel. Richard Spencer is a white Zionist. Isn't it just amazing? Isn't it just amazing that when you look at who's organizing this, it's the same freaking people, and they're in the same club, and they want you, white man, white woman, or black woman, black man, Hispanic man, whatever. They want you to go out there and fight and die in the streets so that they can gain even more control. Because, hey, you know, let's just get rid of, let's have a great culling. That's what they want. Look at what has happened throughout our history. Look at the 20th century. They want to bring that here to America. They want, with the Soviet Union level of civil war. Oh, that was a great brothers war. Yeah, they were just getting rid of the people that were undesirables. Just think about this. Think about what this would mean. Who she's allied with? Red Ice. You know, who also promotes Weave, the Jew, who has advocated for raping and torturing white women. Well, they're enemy white women. Oh, they're skanks, as he calls them. Think about this. Think about the people who identify as national Bolsheviks that pal around with Alexander Dugin, the founder of the National Bolshevik Party. Think about what these people are advocating. slaughtering white people. Let's look at what Siege has been advocating. This group of imbeciles, idiots, and controlled opposition, just freaks, absolute sick, sick, disgusting people. They've been calling and disrupting this network. Oh, look at them with their great propaganda calling for basically just not even just having a war against white people, just ending it all, just basically trying to bring down everything. Let's just destroy everything. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just, let's all just pitch in for Armageddon here so that everything and everyone can basically be destroyed. That's a great solution, you Charles Manson worshiping idiots. It's just infuriating to see these people out there putting out Ilya Ehrenberg type propaganda, such as Weave and such as Carolyn Emmerich here, and having it be tolerated. Not only tolerated, but applauded. Yeah, and so Siege, those guys were blamed for this Blaze Bernstein murder of some Jew, a 20-year-old Jew. I think it's just a fake story. I think it's all just enemy outfits behind all of this, obviously. But go ahead, Matthew.
Well, I have to admit, I am very limited as far as my knowledge of the alt-right. I know everything about the alt-light. But so I don't know who a lot of these people you're talking about are, but I think that's exactly what they want. These Jewish supremacists, they want us, everybody fighting with each other. All these tiny little paradigms everywhere fighting with each other. And it's everybody wants to gang up against the white man. That's the main narrative. But then they can retreat in their little underground bunkers and come back and rebuild society exactly how they want it, you know, with even more control than they already have, which is, you know, so.
Well, Matthew, you're pretty familiar with Red Ice, right?
Right. That's about the extent of my knowledge of the alt-right.
You know that they had Roger Stone on to talk about how great Nixon was before Trump had even announced and Stone was doing that whole thing. I think they set up a relationship then, if not beforehand, at some point. And that's why Red Ice was and still is a big old bullhorn for the Trump administration.
Which, yeah, my main complaint with them was I don't understand why you guys are supporting Trump. Obviously, once I learned about the NPI, I think that's exactly where the forced Trump support is coming from. And I wouldn't be surprised if their relationship with Roger Stone was connected via NPI.
Could be. We saw the picture of Richard Spencer with Roger Stone out there at the RNC where everybody's getting all gay. Yeah, go ahead, Raleigh.
He even has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back, and he wrote a book called Johnson Killed JFK, something to that effect. I don't know if you guys realize that, but Richard Thorne ghost wrote his book. But anyways, I'm not going to trust his opinion.
Stone's book? Because I know Stone gave a big shout out in his book to Victor Thorne, and that caused some media uproar where, oh, look, Roger Stone dedicated one of his books or give a big thank you to this Holocaust denier, Victor Thorne. I'd interviewed Victor before he died mysteriously during the campaign.
That's my theory that's what the whole shout out was about. I actually used to chat with Victor Thorne online a lot via through email. But anyways, I was going to say is I don't trust anybody who has a picture of Nixon on his back to be an expert on the JFK assassination at all. Especially if you look at who Richard Nixon was, you know, he was Eichmann's, you know, VP. And those two really founded the black market with Meyer Lansky. You know, Meyer Lansky worked with the CIA because they wanted to know how to make shell companies like he did in the mafia. Now, fast forward today, you got Pentagon Papers, or not Pentagon Papers, but Panama Papers, which Donald Trump and Roger Stone's names are all over that.
Yep.
And plus, like, you look at, go to his office. What does he have in his office? He has a tattooed picture of him with porn star Natalie Hartley. Is that her name? The first woman to do interracial porn. And he's proud to have her on his desk.
Yeah, you nailed that, Raleigh. That's exactly right. It's Nixon, or Roger Stone is a Nixon operative. In all of his offices, it's plastered with pictures of Nixon and Eisenhower. This is that little syndicate where these guys stem from. And he co-wrote one of his most recent book about the JFK assassination was co-wrote with E. Howard Hunt's son, St. John Hunt. And E. Howard Hunt worked for Nixon. He was one of the plumbers. And I think everybody here knows that the JBS, the John Birch Society, which all these guys tie in with, is a huge part of the death of Kennedy. So that was a red herring to, all these works. E. Howard Hunt, total red herring. Of course, InfoWars got the main scoop with the guy. So,
and you have to wonder why, you got two prominent stones dealing with the JFK assassination in a big way, right? I'm talking about, of course, about Oliver and his son Sean, and then also Roger. I don't think there's any known connection between them, but I do think that Roger is a crypto.
InfoWars.
No, I meant family connection, blood connection.
Right.
But oh yeah, of course they're connected. Yes. I just wanted to point out that you've got this right wing philosophy really worming its way into all of the rhetoric of these different control opposition outlets. It's the reason why Lana had on Reactionary Jew, the Israeli, and was when he was saying that, oh yeah, Israel, we could flatten the Middle East tomorrow if we wanted to. We're just so kind of compassion. Lana says, oh, well, why don't you? Why doesn't Israel just get rid of all those stinky Arabs? Because it would just be so much better if they did so. Calling for the genocide of Israel's Arab enemies. Yes, what a fashy thing to do. Awesome. And people still post Red Eye, still try to say that, there's some value to be had. This is one of those cases where you hear something like that and it's, well, never again. I mean, it was never again for me well before that, but how people can still be going along with this, how they can't see it for what it is. Just always harping on, oh, feminism. I just saw they came out a video about, an 18-minute video about, oh, feminism and feminist. Come on, Stefan Molyneux, Lawrence Southern, the rebel. Why do they focus on these issues endlessly and never the real ones? Never point out all the Jews in Trump's administration. No, you got to keep up the WWE appearances where, it's those lefties, which includes some Jews who are just waging war against the Zog Emperor. Yeah, you don't have to pick a side in the WWE match. You can turn it off. Oh, man. So we have the Super Bowl coming up here this weekend. And I just wanted to throw it around the table, get your thoughts on sporting and what this is all about. It's mind control beyond just the commercials, beyond just all the fake patriot, the paid patriotism. We have the Patriots in the Super Bowl against the Eagles this year. And last year it was two Jewish owners against each other in the Super Bowl. And there was an article that came out about how Patriots owner Robert Kraft is preparing for the Super Bowl is like studying the Talmud. And people can go check out this article over on the Forward to read about Robert Kraft, the Jew who brought a bunch of NFL players over to Israel for some big mission. I think it was last year. And it's so Jewish. I really hope that our listeners are better than that. I expect that people will be tuning into my show tomorrow night and not watching the Super Bowl. But who knows? I've been disappointed before. Anybody want to add anything about just how stupid and also rigged it all is? Because I posted a Renegade Tribune article, a video over there about that somebody had sent to me about the NFL. It was made in 1983 by this really good journalist. She died later that year. I forget her name. Maybe Raleigh can recall it. But she had really gone and shown how it was all tied into Vegas. Of course, the gamblers, the big casino people, and it's all a big operation. It's all fixed, and it's a lot of money.
The Super Bowl is actually in my home, where I'm living right now, in Minnesota, this year, and it's actually owned by a Jewish owner of the Vikings. I think that he lives out in in somewhere in New Jersey, Hillside, New Jersey. His name is Zygmunt Waffle, whatever. I can't pronounce these fucking Yiddish names. But anyways, we just got a new stadium, the Viking Stadium. It was a big process to rebuild the Viking stadiums on this plot of land that it was originally owned for. But right now, for a family of four to go see a Vikings game and buy one hot dog and one drink and a bag of chips for a family of four is $2,000. Absolutely ridiculous. And on the side of this little cube-like building that's on a tip, it actually says, "We the People." I'm never going to be able to go to these things. It's just going to be like getting tickets to watch boxing for me. It's just going to be a sport for rich people. And forget about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's totally absurd. Completely rigged. If you don't think it's rigged, you're out of your mind. Even down to the refs, they're going to make more money rigging the game. But it's beyond that. It's just a giant distraction. It's a mindless giant distraction.
It's all part of the big stage play. That's why the Patriots came out victorious after 9/11, right? When you need the Patriots.
They did a case study on how much time in baseball is there actually action. And they came up with the theory that it's actually about 16 minutes. And then they took the same study and went to football, and thinking that football had way more action, they said the average game had 15 minutes of action with all these timeouts and big commercials. Hell yeah, drink more beer, buy a keg, you know, sort of things, and having women in the background for Jill and Joe six-pack to get drunk and not worry about how the world works and how they're getting screwed and how the IMF is thieving on the people every day, stealing money right out of your back pocket, and you ain't doing a goddamn thing. But being macho is going to watch an NFL game. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I want to point this out.
I have a theory.
Is this John? Yeah, John, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Oops, sorry.
Real quick. I see sports as a false outlet for our natural tribal instincts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So, I don't know if that's like a deliberate thing, but it's definitely something that that's the effect it has.
And it creates a new tribe. You've got multiracial teams, and they bond together. Yeah, Nance, and I think Scarlett had something to say.
Hi, John. Go ahead, man.
Oh, sorry, Scott. I totally agree with John. I mean, I was an athlete myself, and I couldn't watch other people play sport without going absolutely choppo, just fidgety, especially tennis. I just lose my head. But overall, just in reflection, just looking at football in Europe, because we call it football, it's not soccer, when you think about it, it has been one of the earliest methods they have used to divide the country up. You know, I had eight uncles, two aunties on my mother's sideline. Yeah, they had a lot of kids. And one would be Manchester and one was Liverpool. I was never allowed to say to the one who was Manchester that I liked, you know, Liverpool. And the other one, I had to pretend that I liked Manchester. So the warring is even in the family. So it's like they're conditioning people in a way too, to not only be separated from another state or suburb, depending how your sport is set up, but also in the family. So you have warring between family members and friends. I go for this team, you go for that team. So it's, do you know what I mean? It just seems like a bit of a conditioning as well when you think about it. I mean, stadiums are burnt down and you have two Brits literally trying to kill each other because they go for different teams. I mean, think about it.
You guys still there?
I was just thinking the same thing. Well, I guess so. Well, in reply
sorry about that. Go ahead.
To Nance, actually, the American football was designed after warfare, like battles. It's supposed to be a battle simulation. So it's an interesting connection.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that I don't think that the division, the hatred is actually natural. I think that is artificial. And that when I was over there playing rugby in Scotland, we would go out and actually eat with and drink with the opposing team afterwards, after you had the match with them. And that was pretty gruesome on the field sometimes. And you're knocking heads really, really hard. So I don't think that it needs to be this thing about, you know, hating somebody, this, you know, divide and conquer naturally. I think that's part of the ruling system. At the same time, I think that sports needs to be relegated towards, younger years. I don't see anything wrong with people still being physically fit and perhaps playing sport in their older years, but the whole watching it and being a fan aspect, I think that's the big problem. Is when people get, you even see this in high school sports where the people on the field aren't yelling at each other, but you got the parents of the opposing side, you know, just going nuts. And most people played sports know about this, the obnoxious parents who just can't shut up.
At least they're related to the players.
Yeah.
With the NFL, point. There's like no relation. Like, why do you care who wins and who loses? It shouldn't affect you.
I got something on this. I actually make fun of my husband. It's terrible. It's cruel. But he just loves his football. He played football when he was in high school. And he jumps up and down and gets all excited, like as if you threw the touchdown, you know? You're just sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
But as far as the States go in football, it is losing its steam. It's a very American thing. It is losing its steam. I have a lot of male old football fans here. Not all of them are watching the Super Bowl this year. Losing its team, it's not counting as much in our household as it did last year, the year before, the year before, the year before. And I hate.
Have you guys watched the games?
Yeah. No.
There's stoppages like every play, and reviews, and then reviews for the play before the previous play.
Yeah, it's just drawing it out, and it's diverting your attention and keeping you in the chair as long as they can.
Hey, I want to just thank everybody who called in tonight. We have run out of time here. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me here tonight. And I think there was a lot of valuable input. I'll talk to you all again tomorrow night as I have my own show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hearing all the same old commercials on Renegade Broadcasting?
Ugh, I have heard this damn Noel Ignatieff clip 6 million times. I get it already.
Well, we need your help to create new, exciting, and enlightening content for our breaks. Find yourself a decent microphone or borrow one from somebody else. Look up some royalty-free music or let us do it for you. Just get creative. Make the commercials 40 seconds long to fit our schedule. Winners will have their commercials played on the air and also receive some great prizes. For more details, please go to renegadebroadcasting.com/contest.